purposely. Your life, God's purpose. Listen at purposely.com.
Welcome to the bonfire. This is a place where we encounter God. God is love. God is light. God is a consuming fire. And Jesus said, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. As we gather on the bonfire, we love to dive into stories in the Bible. Today, we're going to look at John chapter 9. And in this season, we've been covering the healing of Jesus. It's holistic. Jesus brings healing physically, emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. Jesus is our healer. He's a preacher, teacher, and healer. Ultimately, what's most important is that he's God. And he's fully human, fully God. He was sinless. He died on a cross. He paid the price for our sins, dying in our place. The full wrath of God was upon him, and he became sin. And by grace, he gives us his righteousness when we put our faith in him. The gospel, the good news, has two parts. The death on the cross, but also the resurrection. Jesus didn't stay in the grave. 3 days later, he's risen. He appeared to over 500, and then he ascended into heaven, and he's returning. He's going to rule and reign forever. His return will be physical, visible, and global. We look forward to that day. That's our blessed hope, a certain hope, and we're going to spend eternity with him. That's why we have the bonfire. We're focused on Jesus, and it's important to have that eternal perspective, because when you're going through something really difficult, you need to remember that we're going to spend eternity with God. We're going to have resurrected bodies, all pain and sickness. It's just for now, but it won't be on the other side of heaven. And this life is so short. I know that it's all we've experienced, but for eternity, this life, it's like a single grain of sand on a seashore. Compared to the seashore, this life is so small. Compared to eternity, this life goes by quickly. And that eternal perspective encourages us. The Bible says God renews us every day. God's treasures in jars of clay. God's powerful in our weakness. And God's a healer who meets us where we're at. As we look at John chapter 9, Jesus comes alongside of this blind man. As he went along the road, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God may be displayed in his life. As long as it's today, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. There was an assumption theologically that was off base, and the disciples assumed that because he's blind, there must have been some major sin that caused this. Jesus says, no, that's not it. Yes, they've sinned, but that's not why he was blind. And yet through this blindness, God's glory will be on display. And in our weakness, that's where God shows up. In our suffering, God brings healing. And Jesus is helping the disciples to have a new paradigm. A lot of times we assume a why. Oh, this happened because of this. I know why. And Jesus comes in and says, no, actually, that's not correct. Do you have any theological assumptions that don't line up with the Bible? Or when you're looking at people, are you bringing judgment? Are you bringing conclusions that aren't accurate, that don't reflect the heart of God? Jesus is going to do something amazing in this setting, and he begins with a declaration. I am the light of the world. Here comes hope. Here comes healing. Here comes purity. His name is Jesus. He's the light of the world. He begins with his words, but then there's going to be action. Jesus has that consistency between words and action. Jesus always brings both. He's always full of truth, full of love. And he calls us to both. A life that, yes, there's action and good deeds. There's also communication. As Jesus says, I am the light of the world, then he spits on the ground. You know, you think of the dirt on the ground. From dirt we came. You know, our bodies will, biological decay, will become that dirt again. But he takes that on the ground dirt, makes some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Jesus heals in so many creative ways. Just think of his options. He could have just said, see, and the man would be healed. He could have touched the man with his finger. The man would be healed. He could have had him wash in some river, the man would be healed. He could have an angel heal. Here, what does he do? He touches the man's eyes. Why does Jesus change his methods all the time? One reason, I think, is that he wants us to focus on him, the Messiah, not the method. If it was just one method, everyone would say, oh, look at that method, and praise the method, and then just try to imitate the method. No, it's Jesus who's the healer, and he'll use many different methods. Then Jesus said, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So Jesus sent the man went, washed, and came home seeing. Two parts, the mud, then the washing, now seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging, that was the life of someone who was blind, begging all the time. You might have an intersection. When I drive off Highway 18 on my way to the church, almost always there's someone right there begging. If someone was blind in that culture, struggling for work, struggling for money, everyone would know, oh, that's the blind man. That's the blind man that's begging all the time. A lot of people probably gave to the blind man. And now here he is and he can see. So his neighbors said, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. A little bit of confusion, trying to identify who is the person that was healed. But then this blind man who can now see, he insisted, I am the man. I think that's a popular phrase in social media now, like, I am him. I am that man. He's declaring that Jesus has healed him. They ask, how then were your eyes opened? And he replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed. Now I can see. Where is this man? They asked him. He said, I don't know. I don't know where Jesus is, but I know it was Jesus. That one everyone's talking about, Jesus, he's the one who healed me. I am that man. The healing is real. And it was Jesus. Not too complicated. Pretty simple, straightforward story. When you share your story, you don't have to overcomplicate it. You don't have to make it sound exaggerated. You don't have to be theologically eloquent. You just say, this was me before, and then Jesus did something, and now this is me afterwards. That's a simple way to do it. And as you let people know, they're going to understand this is authentic. There's no way anyone can take away this miracle. He can see. They can't make him blind again. No one can stop the work of Jesus. When Jesus saves your sins forever, no one can take that away. No one can snatch you from his hand. No one can separate you from the love of God. You are secure. And this man has a degree of security in that he's sharing his story. Never underestimate your story. You can share your story hundreds of times during your life. Sometimes it might be one sentence. It's a good idea to think through your story and have a sentence. And then what would that be? How would you share your story in a sentence? And then let's say you've got 30 seconds or a minute. How do you share your story? If you're going to sit down and talk with someone over coffee and it's going to be 10 minutes or 30 minutes, they really want to know more details, share in your story. And as you share your story, it doesn't just have to be when you came to know the Lord. It can be how the Lord guided you, how the Lord opened doors, how the Lord protected you, how the Lord gave you wisdom, how the Lord gave you peace. There's so many different parts to your story. And at this point, the man's talking about a physical healing, and you can share those testimonies, which are incredible as well. When God does something, we don't hide the light under a bush, but we let people know. Jesus is the light of the world. And then in the Sermon on the Mount, he says that we are the light of the world. He's the capital L light of the world. As he works in our lives, our new identity, we are the light of the world. That's who we are. Here comes the Pharisees, and anytime someone's having kind of a spiritual breakthrough, Jesus is revealing who he is, Jesus is doing miracles, Jesus is healing, here comes the Pharisees. It's a reminder that when God is doing something great in your life, there's going to be people who show up. There might be some people who don't believe Jesus and they oppose you, or there might be some religious people who don't say yes to the Holy Spirit. And now here they come. And it's just like having a party, and then someone wants to come and turn off all the music and take all the food and say, nope, 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 no party here, no party here. That's what the Pharisees show up, and that's the spirit they bring. So what happened? We have the Pharisees and the man who had been blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. That gives us a little more insight, a little more information as to why Jesus healed this way. Remember, God uses many methods. Well, in this particular method, to make some mud on a Sabbath would be considered work. For the Pharisees, who had all these dozens of additional Sabbath rules, they love rules. I don't know what it is about religious people, but if they don't have a relationship with God, they try to substitute it with rules. And they impose these rules. They try to make everyone jump over the bar of their man-made rules. It's called legalism. Legalism is trying to achieve your righteousness through how you keep the law. Legalism is also bringing rules that are not in Scripture and then imposing them on other people. Jesus said, you sons of hell, he said, you put all these burdens on top of people and you can't even carry them yourselves. Jesus called them out and said, you're hypocrites, you're whitewashed tombs, you look good on the outside, but on the inside you're full of dead man's bones. Jesus didn't mince words. He had his strongest words towards corrupt, self-righteous, religious leaders who promote legalism and are harsh and really unbelieving. They know the Scriptures. At times they can memorize Scripture, but they don't know the power of God, and they're missing it. They strain out a gnat and they swallow the camel. They are so concerned about one little rule that's not even in Scripture, and then they're missing the whole presence of God. They're missing the whole Spirit of Scripture. They're missing the Holy Spirit. That's a Pharisee. Don't be an unintentional Pharisee. The Pharisees show up and they're upset because Jesus has broken one of their Sabbath regulations. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And the blind man who can now see, he explained, Jesus put mud on my eyes. The man replied, I washed and now I see. The beauty and simplicity of God's healing, God's power, God's love. He explains it to all these big shot Pharisees who have positions of power. They have some morality, prestige. Everyone looks up to them, but actually they've totally missed it. And some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, referring to Jesus, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Their conclusion about Jesus, they looked through a lens of legalism. And anytime you look through the lens of legalism, it'll taint your view of God and people and what God's doing. They conclude that Jesus couldn't be from God. Their conclusion is completely wrong. Jesus is God. And they took a wrong turn. One wrong turn can lead to a destiny that you never would want. And that one degree off of additional Sabbath rules is going to lead to conclusions that are going to affect them for eternity unless they repent and turn to Jesus. Now, others asked, good question here. Some other people, they're not the seminarians, they're not the Bible scholars probably, the everyday people. The Pharisees are saying that Jesus is a sinner. Then they ask, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So now the group's divided. Some people are saying Jesus is sinful, Jesus broke the Sabbath. Other people are saying Jesus is the Savior, Jesus is above the Sabbath. He actually is the Lord of the Sabbath, and Sabbath is made for man, not man for Sabbath. Jesus will explain this at many points to the Pharisees, and he's using this legalism topic to just expose their whole belief system, which is off base and not scriptural. Sabbath, a day of rest, is made for us. Why? So that we can be refreshed, replenished, we can return to God, our perspectives restored, and we're ready for the next week. That day off, that change of pace, it's blessed. It's been said that either you take a Sabbath or a Sabbath will take you. It's going to catch up with you. But take that rest. That rest is designed to bless us, but we are not slaves to the Sabbath. We are not creating the Sabbath in this unrealistic way, such that we're putting all this pressure, and now it's almost like a Sabbath straitjacket. Well, that's not refreshing, and it also isn't celebrating the healing that God is bringing on a Sabbath. The healing that God is doing here, that the blind man can see, that far exceeds some minutia about what's regulated on a Sabbath. They've flipped the whole thing. They've lost perspective. Have you ever talked to someone that's so consumed with something small that they've missed the big picture? They're so consumed on getting something right, and actually that little thing isn't even right, it's wrong, but they are so locked into one little thing that they've missed all the blessings. Again, the religious leaders have missed that this blind man can see. It's a simple blessing. They should be celebrating. Don't complicate it. Don't undermine it. Yet they continue. They don't just do it once. They continue and they continue and they continue. Have you ever talked to a stubborn religious person that won't back down? They'll dig their heels in. They're off base, but they won't change their course. They won't repent. They won't realize the goodness of God. That's what they do. And finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. In this division between Jesus as a sinner or Jesus as the Savior, and the crowd is split, the world is still split today. The Bible says, enter through the narrow road that leads to everlasting life. The broad road leads to destruction. This is the narrow road. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. There's no other name by which we may be saved. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. Don't miss him. Don't reject him. Yet the religious leaders, they're trying to push him down. Just like he'll later, they'll try to kill him on a cross, and he'll lay down his life, and then they'll put him in the grave. And they think, finally, we got rid of Jesus. But that just leads to the resurrection. So they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he's a prophet. Now that's true. Jesus is a prophet, but that's just the start. He's actually the Savior and the Messiah. He's the Son of God. A prophet, yes. The blind man who can now see is validating that Jesus is legitimate here, but he's not bringing the totality of who Jesus is. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. The skeptics are always trying to dig something up, but when you're on the side of truth and you're on the side of God, you're secure, you've got nothing to hide. Go ahead, look at all the evidence. Love God with all your mind. Check out what's done historically. Keep looking for more evidence, because all truth, ultimately, it comes from God. And he protects it and preserves it. He's the one who decides truth. And Jesus is the truth. The truth will set you free. As they find out more truth, will they be set free or will they be stubborn in their sin? They bring in the parents next and they say, is this your son? They asked, is this the one you say was born blind? How is it now that he can see? Well, the parents say, we know he's our son. This is true. This is the one who was blind. We know he's our son. We'll validate that. And then the parents answered, we know he was born blind, but how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. We don't have that answer. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this, interesting motive, because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ, the anointed one, would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he's of age, ask him. The parents, they know Jesus healed their son. Yet, when they're pressed for an answer, they're going to say, ask our son. You'd hope the parents would have courage and say, yes, it was Jesus. What are you going to do about it? But instead, they say, we know it's our son. We know he's healed. Ask him if it was Jesus. So a second time, they summoned the man who had been born blind. Give glory to God, they said, which is code. It doesn't mean tell the truth. It doesn't mean give your testimony. Give glory to God means agree with us. That's what they're pressing him to do. They said, we know this man is a sinner. Now they're coming with full force, like this is your last chance to agree with us. Jesus is a sinner. And the blind man replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. There's your testimony. I was spiritually blind, now I see. I was physically blind, now I see. I was lost, now I'm found. I was heading towards hell, now I'm heading towards heaven. I was on the road, dead in my sins, separated from God forever, until Jesus intervened. Jesus heals, Jesus saves. It's a beautiful way of saying the testimony. I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did you open your eyes? And this is where the man gets clever. This is where he's having some fun. This is where a little sarcasm kicks in. He says, I've told you already and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? He's being playful. It's like you keep asking me my testimony. I keep sharing it with you. You don't like it. This is glorifying God. Why do you keep asking me? You ask my parents. You ask me again. You ask me again. Hey, are you asking because you want to follow Jesus? It's beautiful. I mean, it's sarcastic, it's playful, it's an invitation. Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." Actually, they do. He was born in Bethlehem, came from Nazareth, and Moses pointed to him, and Moses worships Jesus. Jesus is greater than Moses. So what they're saying is not theologically sound, but they have their stubbornness, and their feet are just digging in deeper and deeper. Don't ever hold on to something that doesn't align with Scripture. The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a blind man who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. The religious leaders landed on this conclusion. It was because of your sin you've been born blind. Remember how this story started? Jesus said, this isn't because of the man's sin that he's blind. Be careful when someone has a physical challenge that you don't project something on them that's not true. Like, oh, you're suffering this way because of your sin. That's a drive-by guilting. That's what the Pharisees do. It's not true. Jesus meets him in his area of pain, and Jesus heals him. Now he can see. And there are many instances where Jesus heals. Sometimes Jesus doesn't heal. In these gospel passages, Jesus doesn't always heal everyone, but he does love everyone. There's a relationship with everyone. Ultimately, we all have full healing in heaven with resurrected bodies. On the earth, we pray for healing, and there's some mystery in the healing, but there's also some clarity, and this is undeniable. Jesus healed him, and what's the result? Because now he's trusting Jesus. Now he's sharing his testimony. Now he's, you know, influencing other people. What's the result? The religious leaders are furious. They say, "Stop lecturing us," and they kick him out. And that's what the parents wanted to avoid. The parents knew that anyone who says yes to Jesus, glorifies Jesus, trusts Jesus, is going to be kicked out, going to be persecuted. And I'll propose to you today that it's better to be persecuted for your faith. To be a public Christian is the only kind of Christian there is. Yes, we have a private faith, but starting with baptism, public faith, publicly, our light shines humbly, authentically, so that more people will praise our Father and more people will see Jesus in us. Abide with Jesus and trust him. Share your testimony. Trust God with the results. No matter who comes against you, don't shrink back. Don't give in to fear. Don't give in to silence. Don't be intimidated. Just continue to glorify and trust Jesus all the way. That's what this young man is doing with his testimony, and he gets kicked out. Now, this is what I love, because we went from a healing to a conversation and relationships, and this man experienced a physical healing. Then this man experienced relational and even community ostracism, just rejection. And with that displacement, now there's a new kind of suffering in his life. He experienced, now his vision is back, but his friendships have changed. His community has changed. His experience in the synagogue's changed. He's got some temple hurt, some synagogue hurt, some church hurt. Why? Religious leaders who are self-righteous and corrupt. And yet Jesus meets him right there in that pain. And if you've been mistreated, if there's been hypocrisy and mean people and abuse, and you've experienced those things, and you've been kicked out in a sense, never forget, Jesus is still with you. He still loves, he understands, he cares, and he will meet you there. That's what Jesus does. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, Jesus took initiative and found the man, and he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. This blind man who could physically see is now going to spiritually see. And that's the second healing that comes. First the physical, now the spiritual. "Who is he? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Like, I am he. I am the light of the world. I am the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. That's who I am. And I healed you. As Jesus says this, the man responds, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Notice he went from receiving blessings to now worshiping. There's a lot of people who have been blessed by God with a job, with a house, with a spouse, kids, been blessed by God financially, been blessed by God in so many ways, abilities, talents, but are you worshiping God? Now this man has a relationship. He realizes it's not just about the blessing, but the blesser. And he worships Jesus. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into the world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." That's the spiritual irony. This man couldn't see physically. Now he sees physically and spiritually. The Pharisees see physically, but they don't see spiritually. Jesus comes to seek and save the lost. He comes to seek and save sinners. Those who are self-righteous don't think they need a savior. They won't believe. The gospel's offensive in this way, that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need a savior. We all need forgiveness. We all need Jesus. Some people hate that message. It's only the first part. The first part is we've got to acknowledge our sin. Then we can repent, believe in Jesus, and receive his grace. There's a lot of people who don't want to acknowledge their sin, and they don't want to receive forgiveness, and they don't want it from Jesus. Listen, we can't save ourselves. Only Jesus saves. Don't be stubborn and self-righteous. Instead, humbly receive from the Savior. Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin, but now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains." Vision, physical and spiritual. Who is Jesus? This is what the entire world grapples with. There's no greater question. Who is Jesus? Some would say he's only a prophet, he's only a teacher, he's only a healer. Well, he is that, but there's so much more. He's the Messiah. It's his bold claim here. When someone claims, they're either liar, lunatic, or Lord. Jesus claims, "I am he." Or, you know, Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we bow down and worship him and we trust him. Where are you at today? I encourage you to take that next step forward in your relationship with Jesus. Receive him as Savior and Lord. If you haven't made that decision, make that today. And then as you know Jesus, receive his blessings today. Receive his healing today. And as you do that, share your story. Don't make it complicated. Just share your story, how Jesus changed your life. That's what God has called us to do. Your healing work is not only for you to receive, but also for you to share your story so that more people receive, more people turn to Jesus. He's the source. And when people draw near to Jesus, we saw a wide range in this season at the bonfire, all these different ways. The method is not the main thing. The Messiah is the main piece. The Messiah, Jesus, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who's your healer? Jesus. Go to Jesus. Some people know he's our healer, but don't go to him in prayer. Don't bring the pain. Don't bring the wounds. Don't bring the requests. That's a mistake. The people who are healed, they're coming to Jesus with faith and bold determination, believing who he is, receiving. They're humble. They're receivers. How's your receiver today? Receive afresh from our healer that he's going to restore and renew you. And as he does that, share your story so others will be encouraged. That's what the bonfire is all about, encountering God, sharing stories, diving into scripture. If you've enjoyed our time together today, please share this with someone else. Let's build each other up. The bonfire is growing. Embers fade alone, but we come together. And God is love, God is light, God is a consuming fire. This podcast is about the presence of God. So let's keep journeying and growing in our faith together. And the indestructible Jesus, the indestructible hope he gives, receive it and give it every day for the glory of God.